You're listening to Rowan Radio On Demand. Download more podcasts at rowanradio.com.
The following program does not represent the views or opinions of the staff or administration of Rowan University or Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM.
And now, Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM presents Studio 89.7. This program focuses on newsmakers, celebrities, and authors in the news. And now, here's your host, Philadelphia radio veteran, Paul Perillo.
Come one, come all. The circus is in town. It's not just any circus, or perhaps anything that you may have seen or witnessed before. It is the Big Apple Circus, sometimes called the Circus with a Heart. Big Apple Circus is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year and has been on a national tour with a stop in our area at Philadelphia Mills Mall. It's been called extraordinary, remarkable, unequivocally thrilling by the New York Times. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution says the Big Apple Circus reminds us how magical a circus can be. Known for its one-ring, intimate, and artistic style, where no seat is more than 50 feet from the performers, Big Apple Circus is passionate about revitalizing the circus for modern-day audiences with unique and astounding human feats and innovative design and technology. The 40th anniversary season program features the famous seven-person pyramid on the high wire with Nick Wallenda and the fabulous Wallendas. There are a number of other things that set the Big Apple Circus apart from other traveling shows. They have partnered with many community groups over the last four decades and have a no wild or exotic animals policy. We are fortunate to have with us in studio, stepping off his high wire, is Nick Wallenda and the award-winning contortionist Elaine Kramer. They're here to talk about the 40th anniversary of the Big Apple Circus and what it's like to run away with the circus. I can remember when the circus came to town in Philadelphia, and it was under the Big Top. Now, I know I said I'm 60, but I've dated myself because most oftentimes we see a circus in one of the mega arenas. But I am happy to say that here in Philadelphia, at Philadelphia Mills, it's the return of the Big Top, and it's the return of Big Apple Circus playing here, Philadelphia, right on through June 24th. And I, again, dating myself here, I remember when one of my guests' grandfather probably walked across Veterans Stadium in South Philadelphia, Nick Wallenda?
That's correct. Great-grandfather, actually, was Carl Wallenda. Yeah. And that was in 1976, I believe, that he walked over Vets. I think he did it twice, though, two different times. His goal was always to stay up on that wire.
Yeah, and so you have followed in the family tradition.
I have, that's right. Seven generations, over 200 years now, carrying on this amazing legacy.
I can't even put one foot in front of the other and chew gum at the same time. But I have seen many of the performances that you have brought to audiences, not only the Big Top, like we're going to see at the Big Apple Circus, but you know, even crossing Inner Harbor in Baltimore, crossing the Grand Canyon. Do you ever get nervous?
You know, of course there's nerves. I mean, that's what makes me human. But I consider, rather than turning or allowing those nerves to turn into fear, I turn them into respect, or I call it respect. I respect what I do. But it's about training and preparing properly for every challenge that I face, including the weather, which is the one that's out of my control. Of course, the rigging can be engineered and made as stable as possible. But, you know, it's about training and preparation for every event that I do. But of course there's nerves. But look, Elton John, I've been told, pukes in a trash can before he goes on stage to this day, and he's one of the greatest. So I think that's one of the things that make you a great entertainer, whether you're walking a wire or whether you're singing on stage and playing the piano. It's part of respect for the audience, in a sense.
We're going to get into what Big Apple Circus is all about, but I also want to introduce your colleague here who joins us in the studio, Elaine Kramer, who is an award-winning contortionist. Elaine, if we did this show a few years ago, we were in a much smaller studio, and a lot of people would ask, how do you fit into this studio? But welcome to Philadelphia.
Thank you.
There's a certain athleticism that comes with being an award-winning contortionist. So what made you decide that you wanted to be part of the Big Apple Circus?
So my whole family has been in circus for generations. I'm a sixth-generation circus performer. All of my family did different things. I chose contortion. I started practicing at a very young age. I started when I was 4 years old to do contortion. I've always loved circus. Mm-hmm. This is my second time performing for the Big Apple Circus. Okay. The first time was 2012, so 5 years ago. I did the 2012-2013 season, which was called Legendarium at the time, and now I am back with this all-new brand show celebrating our 40th anniversary, which we're really excited about. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud to be in this show, especially this year, because they brought back so many great artists from all around the world, including Nick Walenda with the seven-person pyramid. We have Ahmed Tunisiani performing the quadruple somersault on the flying trapeze. The Anastasini brothers, who mm-hmm. are two brothers who juggle each other on their feet. So we have some amazing stuff, and I'm very proud to be a part of this.
So does one go to school to become an award-winning contortionist, or are you given this God-given talent at birth and all of a sudden someone realizes that, hey, she could really do weird things with her limbs?
So a lot of people, I get that question a lot, actually. Am I double-jointed? Was I born this way? Right. Is it easier for me? I was unfortunately not born with any special given talents to be more flexible. Mm-hmm. So everything I do, I had to train for it, a lot like gymnastics or ballet or yoga, anything like that. Of course, what I do is a bit of everything together, like right. a bit of all those three. But yeah, I just started training like very young. As I said, I was 4 years old when I started training, and I'm 26 years old now. So I've been doing this for a long time, and I've been actually performing this act since my first time I was 11 years old when I was on a stage or in a ring performing contortion.
And so, I mean, when it comes to being a contortionist, some people might think that it's just another level up from gymnastics, but it really is an art form.
It is it's very hard to explain. It's really something of its own. I mean, it's because it's the way I describe it is I do gymnastics and I'm very flexible. That's just kind of the easiest way to put it. But it's nothing like yoga, because it's this is my job. It's not like how I relax, you
sure.
know.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a much more extreme. It's a much more extreme thing than yoga. So,
yeah.
And it is like gymnastics, but not quite the same as well. So mm-hmm. it's its own thing. Contortion.
We should mention that the Big Apple Circus, the 40th anniversary of the Big Apple Circus, is playing Philadelphia Mills through Sunday, June 24th. And there are many, many great acts that are here under the Big Top. And Nick Walenda, you know, when we talk about the Big Top, you know, we're talking about an environment unlike some of the arenas that you may have played or some of the arenas that we are familiar with here in Philadelphia. When we talk about the Big Top, we're talking about a tent that's outdoors, right?
That's correct. Well, it's indoors. It's actually climate controlled, but yes, okay. under canvas, which is, of course, the way my family started performing mm-hmm. back in the 1780s.
Wow.
So for me, when I was invited to come back to be a part of the 40th anniversary of Big Apple Circus, it was exciting to me because, again, it's paying tribute to my family, my ancestors, which is everything that I do, whether it be walking across the Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls, or at a Big Top. One of the things that's beautiful about the Big Top is that it's intimate. It's an intimate setting where there's no audience member more than 45 or 50 feet
yeah,
from the ring.
Yeah.
So the entire time that I'm performing, often walking basically over the spectators' heads, and I'm able to look down and sort of interact. As an entertainer, there's something special about being able to make eye contact with the audience. I think it's something that our society is lacking these days, is people don't make eye contact anymore because of cell phones and social media, etc. So it's so disconnected. So one thing that I love doing is making eye contact with our next generation, and hopefully by what we do, inspiring them. But again, being under the Big Top is there's something special about it. In fact, I'm often offered contracts to do arenas, etc. And my preference is always to perform in that smaller setting because I think the audience feels like they're part of it. They can see the stress on our faces as we're performing that seven-person pyramid, or as Elaine is bending into a pretzel, or in fact, she closes her act by shooting an arrow. She holds a bow in her feet and shoots an arrow and hits a target, which is pretty amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
All while being upside down in a handstand, contorted. You know, again, performing in a big top, there's nothing that compares to it, in my opinion.
You're performing with other members of your family in this production, and you know, people go out on the road for however long by themselves. So is there an element of comfort, Nick, that comes with the fact that people that you're performing with are members of your family, and
absolutely,
if you've got their back, they've got your back.
That's yeah, very much so. Being able to perform with my family is everything. And that's one of the beautiful things about the circus world, is mm-hmm. you're with your family often, almost all the time. So, you know, I remember growing up, and we travel in a tour bus or in an RV. And I remember my parents growing up, we had an Airstream, one of those tin can RVs. And when I got sent to my room, it was 15 feet away. So, you know, there's not much you can do. You have to get along good. You have to learn to understand each other and get along good in close spaces. So I think it makes a close-knit, tight family. Which is an incredible environment to raise children in. Now I have three children. I have a 20-year-old who's actually a Marine serving our country. He's out in California getting ready to ship out. But and I have a 17-year-old son and a 15-year-old daughter. My 15-year-old daughter is traveling with us, and my son is a high school football player, my middle son, and he comes and visits when he can. Mm-hmm. But it is certainly a great environment to raise a family. And really, I think that shows in the ring as well. When we get into what we call the circus ring, which would be considered on stage to those that don't know, you know, we can really interact with people, and we have there's a close relationship with our audience members.
The whole world of circus has changed dramatically over the past few years. I mean, most notably, one of the bigger names, you know, Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey,
in our country,
you know, has ceased to exist.
That's right.
Unfortunately, for whatever reasons. But and as I said, I remember going to probably Ringling Brothers back when it was in the parking lot of JFK Stadium at the time, before the Vet down in South Philly. And there's just sort of a magic that comes with that type of
environment. There is. I think the challenge that our industry is having is that really a lot of it has to do with the media painting a negative connotation of what circus is, and
sure,
not a true picture of what circus is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the circus is, in my opinion, the truest, purest form of art. Live entertainment started at vaudeville, and it was the only form of entertainment for many years, and of people, where people can come see a show that actually the show comes to them, to their own hometowns.
Yeah.
And I think that with the media, you know, they'll often refer to the White House as a circus. Well, you know, in fact, the circus is probably one of the most organized industries in the world. We will come into a city and set up a big top, a climate-controlled big top, mm-hmm. within a day and a half. And it's basically an entire theater.
Yeah.
It usually takes a year to two to just to design a theater and build one, let alone to become in and out. And by the time we leave a week later, often, we're here for 6 weeks, 5 weeks, which is pretty awesome. But often we'll be gone, you know, a week later, and people will never know we were even there, the ones that didn't come see the show. Mm. So I think that's one of the challenges we face. But, you know, we're willing to overcome that. And I think as long as that next generation, that younger generation, comes and sees the show, I hear it so often. People say, I've never been to a circus, but I'm so glad I came, and I'll continue to come and bring my kids now.
Yeah.
Also, a lot of people think it's just for children. And the truth is, circus isn't just for children. It is inspiring to all ages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see what Elaine does, two brothers juggling each other on their feet, a guy throwing, only 10 people in the world have ever caught the quadruple somersault on the flying trapeze every evening. I mean, the form of athleticism is pretty mind-boggling, even for me, coming from within the industry.
Yeah.
A guy walking on a cable the size of a nickel without any safety devices. That's hopefully inspiring, and I think that most of the younger generation think that CGI, it's all about CGI, it's fake, it's not real. In fact, I'll do walks over cities, and kids will come up and poke me when I come down to the ground. Like, are you real? So I really encourage people to come of all ages. You know, from teenagers, it is a pretty cool form of entertainment. I don't say that just because I'm in it, but once people come, they generally all agree.
Can you give us a little bit about the history of the Big Top, Big Apple Circus? Because, you know, Big Apple, everybody automatically assumes, well, New York, the Big
sure.
Apple. But
yeah, you know, so
it's 40 years old, and so can you give us a little bit of the history
so
of it?
It was founded 40 years ago by a couple of street performers, actually, in New York City, and they formed a non-for-profit group And they toured originally just in New York is where they would perform. Mm-hmm. They'd perform there for months on end and then eventually started to expand and break out of that. But that was why they got the name the Big Apple Circus, because it was always centrally and to this day is still centrally based in New York City.
Right.
However, we come to cities, obviously we bring the show to you, and that's the idea of all circuses, mm-hmm. really. So, but that's why it has that name. It has an amazing legacy. We're known as a circus with a heart, all about giving back to the community. We do a show called Circus of the Senses, which is where children can come with disabilities and they're able to actually step into the ring, and whether it be, you know, if they're dealing with blindness, they're able to smell the smells of the circus, and we're able to tell the story of the circus actually as we perform. We have two narrators that actually explain, and this is only specific performances, but actually will explain the show verbatim exactly what's happening and try to put that visualization into their heads. And recently one of those interpreters came up to me and he spoke with a bunch of the children after the show, and he said that a lot of them were saying that they actually saw, they could visualize me on the wire, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's fulfilling to do what we do and hopefully, again, inspire those kids and give them an opportunity to have the experience that we all take for granted, which is as simple as seeing or might be hearing or smelling.
Yeah.
And also they have an opportunity to come into the ring. A lot of them are able to walk. We have a wire that's only 2 feet off the ground, and me and a couple of my my partners will hold their hands, and even though they're blind, they're walking on a wire, even though it's a couple feet up off the ground. But it gives them a cool, unique opportunity and experience. And that's what Big Apple is about giving back and caring about these communities and, of course, these underprivileged areas as well.
Welcome back to Studio 89.7. I'm your host, Paul Perrello. In a moment, we're going to hear from the ringmaster of the circus, but just to fill in some of the blanks here with the history of the Big Apple Circus, after working as street performers in Europe, Paul Binder and Michael Christensen returned to New York City and founded the Big Apple Circus, which debuted in 1977. Started as alternative to the glitz and spectacle of the American three-ring circus, Big Apple Circus has epitomized the intimacy and artistry associated with the European one-ring circus. Following its first year in what would later become Battery Park City, Big Apple Circus moved to Lincoln Center in 1981 and has continued to be an integral part of New York City's holiday season. Now, over the years, Big Apple Circus has toured throughout the East Coast, traveling as far south as Atlanta and as far west as Chicago. But after the recession of 2008, the circus met with financial hardship and filed for bankruptcy in late 2016. By early 2017, the Big Apple Circus was acquired by Big Top Works with the intention of restoring the Big Apple Circus back to its long-cherished place as one of New York City's cultural gems in time for the 2017 holiday season at Lincoln Center. Many of the world's greatest circus acts have performed under the Big Apple Circus Big Top. Each year, a new show with a new theme is created by many of New York's most creative directors and designers. This 40th anniversary show, playing here in Philadelphia, is no exception. Never before in circus history have the two most daring aerial feats been attempted under the Big Top in the same show, one of which is Nick Wallenda, the greatest daredevil of our generation and 10-time world record holder, and the fabulous Wallendas will perform the seven-man pyramid on the high wire above the ring. And also, Amit Tunziani of the Flying Tunzianis will attempt the elusive quadruple somersault to the hands of his catcher. Now, before we get back to our guest, we have Ty McFarland, who joins us. He is the circus ringmaster, and his task is to make sure everybody is where they need to be to keep the show moving forward.
My first experience with the circus was, I have to say, awe. Because I had not ever gone to the circus as a young kid, I didn't know what it was like to be on the outside looking in, so my start was on the inside, and I felt like being in a snow globe. The circus is a very big thing. I didn't really have a point of reference to know how it impacted the lives of so many people until I actually joined. And once I started to rub elbows with some of the most fascinating people on the planet, it just became home, and it feels like home. As a ringmaster, introducing the crowd into my world, I feel like Willy Wonka. It's necessary for me to draw them in, to allow for them to feel and experience what it is that we feel as performers. I am a people person by nature, but one of the most difficult things for me to do in preparation for a show is to set myself aside, go to a place of hiding, and just zone out. And that, for me, means to breathe, to clear my mind. That allows for people to engage me even more. So my first motivation is usually to try to disarm the audience and to put them at a place of relaxation and get them ready for an awesome show. I absolutely get caught up in the moment because the circus is for everyone. And despite the fact that I may have performed over 3,000 shows, I still am in awe with what the human mind has allowed for some performers to aspire to. You grow to realize that people are people, no matter where they're from, no matter what, you know, walk of life they're from, no matter what language they speak. Passion is usually at the core of what we do as performers, and everyone speaks that. Everyone can dream, and I think that as a circus performer, we allow for people to realize that dreams can happen. This is our dream. And this is your opportunity to go out and make your dreams happen. I think that's what the circus is about. My name is Ty McFarlane, and I am the ringmaster for the upcoming all-new Big Apple Circus.
Joining me in studio, we have with us High Wire performer Nick Walenda, and joining Nick is award-winning contortionist Elaine Kramer. They're here talking about the 40th anniversary of the Big Apple Circus, which is playing in the greater Philadelphia area right on through later this month. Elaine, I want to go back to something Nick said. The act that you perform, most people just think that you're going to stand out there and just try to lift your, you know, your leg behind your neck. But the way he described it, you're shooting a bow and arrow, right? You hit the target. But it's not just, I mean.
Yeah, so two of the tricks that I do are the reasons why, the main reasons why I stand out. So I balance on my hands basically for that final trick, have my feet over my head, hold the bow and arrow with my feet, and then shoot the arrow to a target, and hopefully pop the balloon at first try. That's always the attempt. And then another trick that I do is I balance on my teeth while holding onto a pole that is on a pedestal in the middle of the ring, and I hold my whole body on my teeth in a contortion position.
What's the orthodontist bill like at the end of the year?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really cool. I don't know. I do also do of course, my act is about a 6-minute act, so I do a lot of other things, but those are the main things where I stand out. That's the reason also where I got the Bronze Clown in Monte Carlo. That's the award that you mentioned earlier, and that is so Monte Carlo, for the people that don't know, is the biggest circus festival or circus competition in the world. So for us, the circus performers, it's like the Oscars, you know. Yeah. So winning a gold or bronze or a silver in that festival is really amazing, let alone just to be there and perform for the people. It's great.
One more question for Nick before we got to wrap it up. Appearing here at the Big Apple Circus is just one part of your life, because you're still involved in so many other productions and so many other shows, not only around the country, but around the world. So is there anything coming up that we might see you in outside of the Big Top?
Yes. So I have recently signed another TV contract where I'll be doing a couple more walks. Hopefully one of the biggest, I guess the goal that I'm focused on right now is walking over an active volcano. But I have a team that's working on finding the proper location, etc. I think we found it. I can't talk about it yet, but yeah. I think we found the location.
Yeah. Well, I want to wish you all the luck in the world here in Philadelphia as part of the 40th anniversary of Big Apple Circus. For those people that may not say, where's Philadelphia Mills? It's the old Franklin Mills Mall and the red parking lot. So you make sure that you come out. They're going to be here through June 24th. What a pleasure to meet Elaine Kramer. And
thank you for having
Nick
us
Walenda.
So much. We appreciate it. You can buy tickets at BigAppleCircus.com, and they are as low as $15 a person. So very reasonable for any family to come see.
And there's a great seat regardless of where you sit in the
That's
house.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having
thank
us.
You.
You've been listening to Studio 89.7, a monthly program that focuses on newsmakers, celebrities, and authors. Please join us again the second Monday of each month for Studio 89.7, exclusively here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM.